Good morning again. I am glad to see everyone's face here this morning.
Amen. It
brings joy to me to see us gathering together in this place. So, welcome everyone. We are in Mark 5. We'll cover the first 20 verses in Mark 5 this morning. And we won't be here for 2 hours. So, Mark 5, 1 through 20. Everyone take a second to remember a moment in your life when everything changed. A moment in your life when everything changed. We have many different things in our lives where we can look before and after and see the change in our life. Maybe it's when you got your little driver's license for the first time and you had that freedom burning in the fingertips of your hands. Or maybe it was graduation, or maybe it was marriage, or your first child. Whatever it is, you can see your life before, and you can see your life after, and you can see the change that has taken place. Maybe in your life, the main thing you see, that the change that happened, was the day you became a Christian.
Amen.
Whatever it was, whatever you can see, today we'll see a moment in our text, in a man's life, when everything changed for him. And we'll apply it to our own lives. First, we'll look at a controversy in this text, and then we'll look at the text in three parts. The unstoppable man, an unstoppable man meets Jesus, and everyone marveled. Mark 5, 1 through 20. Let's stand as we read God's word today. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to see to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day we have together, gathered in your house of worship to praise your holy name. Father, be with us now and right our minds and our hearts for this text and help us apply it to our lives and leave this place changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Had you standing there for a while, didn't I? Last week, we looked at Jesus calming the storm and realized that we all have storms in our own lives. We have hardships, and these hardships are promised in the Bible, and so is Jesus being with you every step of the way. The one who holds power over all creation sacrificed himself for you and walks with you. Today we have another story demonstrating the power of Jesus. This time it involves the healing of the demon possessed. Before we dive in, we must first address something. This story is actually one of those in the Bible that critics use to say the Bible has errors and cannot be trusted. It has nothing to do with the miracle performed or demons being addressed here. It actually refers to how our other gospel writers address this story. Luke's account reads very similar, but Matthew's account is where our attention is found. Matthew 8:28. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs so fierce that no one could pass that way. Did you see the difference? Our account in Mark and the one in Luke refer to one man in the Gerasenes, and Matthew refers to two men in the Gadarenes. They are all accounts of the same event, so have we uncovered an error in the Bible? Well, no. The first reason as to why this is not an error, mentioning two different locations, can be found in our own location. Where is Cache Creek Baptist Church located? Would you say in Henderson? Maybe in Niagara? Perhaps some people would say Hebronsville. Likely any of these three would be deemed correct since we are in the Niagara-Hebronsville area of Henderson County. You see, Gerasa was a small town by the sea in the region of Gadara. This is where the differences come from. The Gerasenes and the Gadarenes, two names for the same people in the same area. Next is this notion that Matthew mentioning two men, while the others mention one, makes this story questionable. To this I ask another question. If I told someone that I went to church with my family today, and then someone else says I saw the Duncans and the Griffins at church this morning, does that mean one of our statements is false? No, of course not. This is the same thing happening here. Not only does this fact not point to errors, it actually brings more validity to the Bible. Why? Because there's no attempt to get the story straight. There's no deception here in making sure the stories are the same. We have many stories told from many viewpoints, including many different details, that all weave together to give us our picture. Likely, we get the details of one man here in Mark because he's the only one seeking Jesus in this story. It helps to remember that Luke is writing what he has learned from Paul and has studied on his own. Mark is likely writing about what he has learned from Peter, and Matthew and John were actually there. They're probably in this boat. This is how we get our different perspectives across these same stories. This does not mean the Bible cannot be trusted. It is the very Word of God written through these men and should be trusted as such.
Amen.
Now let's look at the encounter with Jesus today. The unstoppable man. So Jesus and his followers arrive here on this shore and are immediately met by a man. We're told that he's living in the tombs along this shoreline. We're also told a few other things. He lives in this place night and day. He cries out and cuts himself night and day. He cannot be contained by chains or any person. He is a demon-possessed man. There's a very clear picture here being painted for us, and I want to draw out 2 points. First, demons are real, and they mean to destroy you. This is the very mission of the devil himself. We're all made in the image of God, and Satan will try to tear down this image at all costs. John 10:10 says the thief will come, and he's only coming to steal, kill, and destroy. John 8:44 says, He says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to the father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. This man depicted in our story has had his image stolen. This man has seen his own murder unfolding before his eyes. He is being devoured by the lion. The second point is this. Demons are powerful. This ordinary man cannot be subdued by any human. He cannot be held by any chain. He cuts himself all day long and all night, and he still prowls around this place. The power of the one possessing him is real and is immense. When we combine these two thoughts, we come to the conclusion that the devil and his demons are powerful adversaries whose sole purpose is to destroy the works of God. What does this mean for us? Well, first it means that as Christians, our goal is to spread the word of God to all we come in contact with, and this goal will be resisted by Satan. He will put up a fight. Secondly, it means that everyone who is not a Christian will also have to deal with these adversaries. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. People who are not Christian are not following God anyway. Well, what we know from history and from this story and from the entire Bible is that evils of this world are meant to destroy the very image of God, and all are created in His image. Genesis 1:27. So God created in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. All are in His image. It does not matter what people's backgrounds are or what their beliefs are, and it does not matter about the color of their skin. It's not our job to try to sort out who would be a good Christian, who would be a good church member. All are image bearers of God, and our job is to present the gospel to all these image bearers so that they realize who Jesus is. So that they realize that in the very midst of the struggles of this world, they can rely on the comfort and help from the Son of God. That this very man named Jesus bested the devil at his own game by dying on the cross, so all who believe in his name could be saved, to be reconciled to God, to realize whose image they are made in. Do we get this? None of us stood a chance in the battle over sin and against Satan, and Jesus stood in our place. Next, we will see another glimpse of this power and authority when this unstoppable possessed man meets Jesus. The unstoppable man meets Jesus. So by all accounts, this man or these men were terrorizing this place and could not be stopped. Other people could not stop them, chains could not stop them, and they could not stop themselves. Enter Jesus. I want us to see two things in verses 6 through 13 quickly. The first is that demons knew they were in trouble when they saw him. They knew it. They knew exactly who he was, and we see this all across the New Testament. Mark 1. We studied this before. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Luke 4:41. And demons also come out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. We see this. The demons of the Bible knew exactly who Jesus was and knew they stood no chance. James tells us they believed in him and feared him, but would never see salvation because they would never follow him. Their lives would never be changed by him. Secondly, not only did they not know who he was and were scared of him, they had to do everything he said. They came out of the man. They told him their name. They went into the pigs. This is the authority of the Son of God. He has power over all of creation. This same man who casts out demons and commands the seas and heals the sick by merely speaking the words is the same man that promises eternal life in heaven for all who believe. Christians everywhere can be no more comforted than knowing that the one who created all things and holds all things together sacrificed himself so we could be saved if we would only believe. One more thing about this belief. True belief does not mirror that of the demons. They truly believed in who he was, they just didn't care. Their lives were never going to reflect belief in the Son. Do ours. If we truly believe in the Son of God and that eternity in heaven awaits everyone who holds this belief, then our lives should reflect it. If we say we believe in Jesus is the most important thing in this life, and we do not share the gospel, then what kind of belief are we reflecting? Do we look more like the disciples or these demons? Now let's quickly look at the results of this encounter. Everyone marveled. So the demons are terrorizing this area, and Jesus arrives on scene, and they bow down to his authority and power. Look at what happened next. I want us to see the glaring contrast here between belief and unbelief. Between getting it and not getting it. First, look at how the people that live in this area reacted to what took place. In verse 15, it says they were afraid. And verse 17 says they begged Jesus to depart from their region. Does this seem familiar? Because it should. It is exactly how the demons reacted to the presence of Jesus. The demons were in fear and begged Jesus to do something. The people now come on scene and have seen what has happened, and they react in the exact same way. They are afraid and beg Jesus to leave. Guess what? Both the demons and these people got exactly what they begged for, and it will lead both groups to the same place. The demons begged to enter the pigs, only to be drowned. And these people begged the Savior of the world to leave them alone. Their fate will be similar, in that death apart from Jesus leads to despair and destruction and eternity in hell. This is contrasted with how the man who was possessed in our story responds to his encounter with Jesus. His response is threefold. First, his encounter with Jesus has left him changed. The demons are gone. The passage says he's now clothed and in his right mind. So this encounter has changed him. It has also led him to want to be with Jesus. You see, he begs for something too. It's not for his life or to be left alone. He begs to go with Jesus. He says, take me with you. So he has changed, and his desire is to be with the Son of God. The third thing is this, verses 19 and 20. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So Jesus says, you cannot come with me, but I have something for you to do. He says, go home and tell everyone what the Lord has done for you. Then the text tells us this is exactly what he did, and everyone marveled. Everyone marveled. You would be hard-pressed to find a better picture of what the gospel leads to than right here in our story today. There are two reactions. One reaction was a fear and anger and push Jesus away. Push the gospel aside. The other reaction is of a changed life. A changed life and a desire to be with Jesus. A changed life and a desire to be with Jesus and a passion for spreading the gospel message. There are two reactions we see in this story. And these are the two reactions we will still see today. People hear the gospel and either run in fear and revolt, or they have their lives changed forever. Maybe our question as we close is this. What was our reaction to the gospel? You see, our passage today has shown us the power of Jesus, and it has shown us how both believers and unbelievers react to this power. How did we react? If you're not sure, then just take a look at your life. You don't have to be a biblical scholar to see what your life reveals about your belief. The man in our passage encountered Christ, had his life changed by this encounter, and then reached out with the gospel to change the lives of others around him. Is this you? Is this your story? The things of God were once not a priority and now are a priority. The question is not if everything changed at a flip of a switch. If it is not if all your sins are gone. This will never be the case on this side of eternity. We've all sinned and will continue to sin. The question is, did anything ever change? Likewise, the question is not if you are an expert evangelist. The question is, have you ever shared the gospel? You see, the Bible says you can know everything there is to know about God, but if it has not been put into practice, then what good is it? We've all received the knowledge of the Son of God, but what we have done with it reveals our hearts. Reveals if we have loved others just like we have been loved. Reveals if we truly believe. Let's end with the words of Paul to the Corinthian church. We know Paul as someone who encountered Christ and had his life changed forever. Look at what he says about this change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What is Paul telling us? He says that God sent his Son to reconcile sinners back to him. Jesus paid the price that was necessary for salvation to be granted to those who believe. He who knew no sin became sin for us. This is the gospel message. But it does not end there. He says we have been reconciled and have been trusted to reconcile others, to spread this message. This is what the demon-possessed man was led to do after he encountered Christ, and this is what these demons and these people in our story will never do. As we leave here today, remember that if you have not had your life changed by Christ, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will have this change today. Also know that our lives have been changed and our eternity in heaven has been secured so we could spread this good news to others. Amen. Be a minister of reconciliation today. Be more like the man who was healed and less like the demons who possessed him. How have we reacted to the gospel? Has our life changed? Any other needs at all, please bring them before our Heavenly Father as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, this place, and our lives. And Father, we thank you for this great country, and we just pray for the suffering that it is in right now. And more than that, Father, we pray that as we leave this place, we can be ministers of reconciliation. We can spread your gospel message, because Father, we know that is what this country needs. Father, be with us now. Be with our decisions we need to make. Be with our minds and our hearts as we struggle to find out our place in this world, and we struggle to find out what our focus is on. Help us focus on you more.